Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge of yourself has come into the church in order to set that church in order, that we might have that which is apportioned to us, which we know is necessary for the ripening of the grain in this hour, to bring the mortal bodies that have corrupted and gone down to, even to gas and ashes. Lord's going to bring them out, and then going to immortalize us. And we realize, Lord, that you did not say that it might be possible or it just might happen, but we know this is going to happen. And we know, Lord, that we're not going to falter or fail because you've already told us that except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that buildeth. But then, Lord, if you're building the house, there will not be any labor in vain, because you've already said that your labor would not be in vain, that Christ would see the travail of his soul answered and see your seed, and all these things would come to pass, which we are a part of tonight. So therefore, we put our whole faith in you, Lord, and in no place else. We look to you for grace and mercy tonight in the study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, message may be a little longer tonight than I want it to be, unless I can cut back. And then, of course, we have service tomorrow, which will be continuing with the thought on the paradox. And the paradox is a tremendous message. It's a wonderful message that Brother Branham brought. Again, though, I believe it was one of those that was predestinated to go over our heads for a while until it could come to the day of reckoning where we are now to really understand what was before us. Now, in the projecting of love, and you want your amplifier there, Bill. I'm going to try to keep my voice down, so make sure you get plenty enough volume there. For several services now, we've been studying about love. That's a tremendous subject. And those studies, for you who have already heard what we've gone into, and of course there'll be some people later on will be able to hear the tape. And from what I preached previously, I'm not at all, surprised if the warnings that we utter concerning love could be misconstrued so that people think we don't believe in love. Now, I've already been charged that I don't believe in love. Now, that's a very grave error for anyone to think that, because we do believe in love. But we want to try to get you to understand what we believe about love. See, now to begin with, there's about 360 verses of Scripture in the New Testament that use the word love, L-O-V-E. Loved, L-O-V-E-D. Loveth, L-O-V-E-T-H. Beloved, B-E-L-O-V-E-D. Well-beloved, W-E-L-L, B-E-L-O-V-E-D. And loves, L-O-V-E, apostrophe S-L, as in love's sake. Now then, 331 times out of the 360 times, the root word is that word we all love so much, which is the agapao, which means to love, which is a verb. And then, as the noun, the agapao, which we call agape love, whereby we differentiate it from filial love. So those two words are very familiar, agape and filial. Now, it's become common to believe that agape love is a divine and only a divine or spiritual concept, and filial is a natural or more carnal. Now, that is the concept. And I'm sorry, but you couldn't tell me different if you tried, because that is the concept. Now, the word which is filial-based is used 20 times, and does not even speak of true brotherly love, but only of friendship, as when one is fond of a friend. So where are you going now? So somebody's off track. The Bible can't be off track. See? Philadelphus, which is love of brethren, is used only 4 times. And there are a few words that are compounds that speak of love of wife, love of husband, love of children, and that's it. That's all. The question arises, why then is there so much preaching about love in which it gives filial love a position, and especially a bad one, in a bad sense, that it makes it seem that filial love is used more in the Bible than agape love? Because naturally, if you go to your old thinking, and the agape love is that real, 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 real thing, then you shouldn't see it very often in Scripture. You shouldn't know too much about it. And there'd be an awful lot of the filial. But that's not true. It's the opposite. Now, the reason for it, I believe, I can be wrong, is John chapter 21. And Jesus is speaking with Peter. And so when they dined, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my lamb." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said unto the Lord, "Thou knowest all things, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, of course, the Catholics say, "Rule my sheep, rule my sheep, rule my sheep." The Protestants say, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." They're both wrong. It's rule my sheep, feed my sheep, rule my sheep. You rule by feeding. Now, actually here, what has happened is by using John 21, we have brought ourselves to believe that the agape love is a true divine love. And then, of course, as I've said, we mistakenly think that the Bible uses the word only to describe that love, which is truly divine. And therefore, it is a very scarce love. And its actual usage in Scripture is very limited as to the times it is used, but that's not so. Now, let's face it. Agape love is simply agape love. Every time it is used in the Bible. Now, when I say that, you can't try to make it a spiritual, divine love. You can't, because it won't work. Now, just keep listening. I'm going to have a hard job tonight to get some things across. And you're going to have to follow me carefully because I'm going to have to go almost plumb around the world to get you to understand what I'm driving at. But just hang in there with me. And you got to let your own thinking go, or it can't do you one bit of good. Because if you already got your minds made up, like what the rest of the sermon, just sit here and pick your nose or read a book or something. I'm pretty vulgar, but that's all right. I don't mind one little bit. Because you only get your point across by hitting a thing hard. Now you listen to me. Because I'm going to read a lot of Scripture, and you're going to find some things that you did not believe were there. I have a purpose in doing it. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but look, it's time that we understood. If he who has loved is here, we better know something about love.
Hallelujah.
See, now you don't call a man a pig who eats like a little hummingbird. Eat like a bird. A man needs to be a flop, 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 flop. In other words, you understand a few things if you're going to describe, right? A person eats like a bird, eats like a bird, not like a pig. A guy that guzzles and burps and flops, eats like a pig, right? Not like a bird, right? Then if love is here, we better know a bit about love, right? Well, that's what we're talking about. So we're not too hard to get to, are we? Okay. Agape love is simply agape love. Every time it is used in the Bible, and it doesn't refer inherently to any special divine love. Now, let's just take a look at it. Because, look, we can't afford to misunderstand things. And then again, too, I'm tired of being criticized. Let's lay it on the table. don't joy in joy. It's later than you think. 43 to 46 of Matthew 5. Matthew 5. All right, if I got this down right. It says here, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Thou shalt agape thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray them that spitefully use you, and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if you agape them that agape you, what reward have you got? Now, if I gave you divine love and you gave me divine love, is there anything wrong with that for Pete's sake? Then this can't be that divine love, right? Amen. So agape's agape. And what is agape? You've got to find out if you do. See? Now, if you agape them that agape you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans agape each other? The divine love? Politicians kissing? Oh, brother. Come on. There's something wrong somewhere. Not with God. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Don't the publicans do the same? All right? Now remember, I didn't write the Bible. Neither did you. Luke 11, 43, once you Pharisees, for you agape, the uttermost seats in the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings the marketplace. And you can see right here that they've got something perverted because they're giving their highest and their utmost of their finest sensibility in the wrong way. There's something going wrong here because they're agapeing. Okay? Luke 16 and 13. No servant can serve two masters, for he'll hate the one and agape the other. He'll hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. The love of money is root of all evil. I suppose that one's agape. I'm not sure. I didn't look it up. But it's 10 to 1 it is. Let's go to John 15, 12 to 13. This is my commandment that you agape one another as I have agaped you. Greater agape has no man than this, and man lay down his life for his friend. Romans 5. Fifth verse. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Verse 8. But God commended his agape toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 12. The ninth chapter. Let agape be without hypocrisy. You mean God's hypocrite? We can be, but not God. You thinking? You confused? Good. You let your own thinking go. 5 and 22. I'm not trying to brainwash you. You believe what you want. I know what I believe. I hope I do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, agape your wives. Is Christ agape the church? I'll use that in there. I'm not getting it according to Greek, but who gives a rip? The word is the basic word. You know what I mean? You know, I can't worry about all those words. I went through in my concordance and my books, and I just chod them all down, so that's what I'll ring for. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. There's many more, of course. I'm not going to go into all. I just want to show you these things in here. 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of agape. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed that the agape that God hath to us, God is agape. He that dwelleth in agape dwelleth in God and God in him. And remember again, I'm using the root word, which people call that divine, tremendous love. Now, don't falter. Don't falter. We'll show you some things here as we go along by the grace of God. I hope I can't make everything clear. I suppose I'm not mentioned. Revelation 2:4, nevertheless thou hast somewhat against, I have somewhat against because thou hast left thy agape, the first agape. You left your first love. All right. In those words then are basic to that word that people have always called that divine love in which even weak himself says a divine and self-sacrificial love. And I am not fussing at that. What I am fussing at is people don't even understand what they're saying. And I think, brother, sister, we should know some things. Now let's consider on the other side of the ledger, John 16:27 and John 5:20. 16:27. For the Father himself seals you. Because you have filioed me. And believe that I came out from God. Now, is that a dirty word? Is that a bad word? No? This isn't a bad word. Now, just keep these thoughts, because I keep warning you, I'm going to be doing something down the road. We just got to look at them. That's all to look at them. Let's look at John 5:20. Well, you say, well, I heard Brother Branham say so-and-so. Did you know what he was saying every time he said something? Like for 4.5 hours on one point. And I'm not exactly stupid. Because even then I couldn't read my ears. So I was bound to interpret him in my own understanding. Rather than what he was saying. John 5:20. For the Father loveth, filio the Son. Showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. The Father hath filial love. A great affection for you because you have shown filial love for me. And you believe me. John 20:2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus filioed. Now, you wouldn't think that Jesus, being God in human flesh, would have filio for anybody, would you, according to what people tell you? But he does. The Bible says so, and I'm not going to change the Bible for anybody. Now, see this scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 4. Three, okay. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. All right, now both have their root word in filio. Now watch, lovers of pleasure, filio for pleasure, not filio for God. Now both words, one word filio is used right there terribly carnally. Right? The other, the same word filio, is used beautifully. So, let's keep moving. Now, what I'm driving at is this. When we talk about love, whether love of God, or love toward God, love of others in the sense of brotherhood or society. We find this word, love, is exactly like the word life. Now, I'm going to run a parallel, so watch what I'm doing. I'm going to take you now to another word that is thoroughly misunderstood, and I can take you to another word that's thoroughly misunderstood, and every time prove it right by Scripture. I know where I'm going. And it aligns with the prophet's message, 100%. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I don't know. According to a lot of folk, I don't, but that's all right. Just like the word Zoe, which is not the life of God per se. Did Brother Bosworth and Brother Branham both said, every time you see the word, it means eternal life. Only, my brother, sister, if it refers to God. Well, you say, well, they didn't say that. Did they have to say it when Brother Branham said there is no eternal hell?
That's right, amen.
Well, do we have understanding or don't we? I was going to tell you something. This age is a perfect picture of the understanding of Scripture. Men and women in university can't even read worth a plugged nickel. Everything types and chatters. So, it's just like the word Zoe, which is not the life of God per se, but can be used that way, though all it is basically is life, from which we get the word zoology. Life is life, regardless of what or to whom it pertains, it's the same word, but it takes on a far different meaning when you talk about the life of a dog and the life of a man and the life of God. But it's Zoe. Just the same as you publicans, you agape each other. Now let me show you about Zoe that'll bring us back to agape. Love, life, or life, love in those channels. We go to John 1 and 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Zoe. John 3:15-16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal Zoe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting lasting Zoe. Life. John 10:10-11. The thief cometh but for to steal and kill. I am come that they might have life, Zoe, and they might have Zoe more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to ask you a question. Can you kill God? Dozens of times it's used the same way when it comes to the giving of life and so on in redemption. But watch also now, please. Let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter. And in verse 25, it says, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life, Zoe, to all. 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my Zoe dear to myself. 1 Corinthians 3, just taking a bunch of them, and 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or Zoe or death or things present or things to come, same word, 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, I beg your pardon, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Before we get on to the 2 Corinthians. 3rd chapter 22. Oh, I read that. I want 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter 16. I'm getting mixed up here. All right, well, soon get it. 2 Corinthians 2:16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of Zoe unto Zoe. And he was writing, as I showed you in the figure which Dr. Ironside brings out, the Roman general having conquered. He's riding upon his great white stallion. And in front of him are slaves that will get their freedom. Behind him are slaves who will die. One is life and one is death. Same word. 2 Corinthians 4 and 12. Same. Then death worketh in us, but Zoe in you. Just talking about one contradicts the other. Philippians. The first chapter, and in the 20th verse, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, in nothing shall I be ashamed. But as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And he's talking about his time on earth, his Zoe. Let's go back and see something else now. The very same root word, but with a little different structure. We go to Luke, the first chapter. I beg your pardon, 15th chapter. And the 13th verse. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The same basic root word of Zoe, Zoa. D-Z-A-H-O. 20 and 38. See, how much of eternal life was that? See? For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Same word again. Now that's talking about everybody, period. Christ died for the living and for the quick and the dead. He bought them all. Whether you live unto the Lord or die unto the Lord, doesn't matter. You got to be counted for. Got to count for yourself there. Living is living. Luke 24 and 5. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to earth. They said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Romans. The 12th chapter, verse 1. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See? 1 Corinthians. I'm trying to show you that these verses don't necessarily mean what people say they mean invariably, because they don't. They're basic. But let's just keep watching it, because I say, keep remembering, we've got a point to bring out here. By the grace of God, we'll do it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second, a life-giving spirit. Okay? Let's go to Galatians. The second chapter, the 14th verse. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles live as the Jews? And he's talking about what they ate, circumcision, and how they ate things. Same word, Zoe. Okay, same base. Acts 26 and 5. Which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the straightest sect of our Pharisee, our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. Zoe. How much Zoe was there? How much fruit did he have the way he lived? Going around beating up Christians and killing them. That's a great manifestation, isn't it? No, see, it won't hold. We go to Titus, the second chapter. Now, I'm drawing a parallel here to show you, the same as with love, there are words in the Bible that you just say, hey, I got my mind made up, this is it. And you watch where you go. See, that's what the concordant version people tried to do. And they ended up completely botching the Scripture because they changed the Scripture to fit their thinking, and it ended up by the fact that men died, and therefore they were sinners, instead of men being sinners, and therefore they died. Hear what I said? Do you hear what I said? They perverted the Scripture. They said, why do men sin? Because they're dying. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They're dying because they're sinning. Don't change the Scripture around. What you need for revelation. I'm showing you right here, there's a revelation required. And the prophet's got to give it, or people will botch every single time. They ain't, let's just keep moving on. Timothy. And I'll beg your pardon, Titus. 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the conduct. Oh, that's Zoe. Sure. But the publicans agape each other. So see, you just gotta watch what's going on here. Matthew the 4th chapter. I want to keep our hearts right, so we, by the grace of God, we can come to where we want to be tonight. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. What we believe is going to make all the difference in whether we get there or not. See? Because the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the spirit of revelation this hour is to illuminate the heart. The eyes of your heart being illuminated, you might know. I'm not trying to corrupt anybody's thinking. You're not for one minute to make you think like me. I just want to see some things myself. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live, Zoe, by bread alone. What's he talking about? If you don't eat, you die. You Zoe, you conk out. You're no more Zoe. A dog. He's got Zoe. You don't feed him, he dies. I'm not trying to pervert anything. I'm just trying to tell you what it says here. So we can watch and see where the thing's going. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God breathed Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Something came out. Acts 17. Go back to Acts again. And we come to the 28th verse. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now he said that to all those heathen people out there. He said, you got a Zoe from God. God is Zoe and you got a Zoe from God. Now has the sinner got a Zoe from God? Yes, he's got a Zoe from God. But what kind of Zoe has he got from God? Look. I could just throw my Bible in the garbage and see if I believe what people believe and not inquire and try to see what is going on. I could throw my Bible and say, oh, forget it. Nobody knows anything. Let's walk out. Right. Just get out of here. Say, no, what's the use? Nobody's going to know anything. Now, my preaching drives you there. Well, I don't believe it does. Now, my point is this, and I'll take it from 1 Corinthians 15:45, which is Zoe, and you already know my point. Because I'm careful to take you each step of the way what I'm into. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It is, as it is, so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Now that's Zoe there. That man was a Zoe, life person. Living soul. And in this particular case, you could actually say, as the Bible said, there were 9 souls that were saved. This could be that type of usage of the word soul. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying it could be. Alright? But he's our progenitor, so it goes a whole lot deeper than that. Let's go back to Acts the 14th chapter. You know, of course, the devil's a liar, so he's just trying to beat us out of this. 14:15, and saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions unto you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth. Okay? That's Zoe. They're both Zoe. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I beg your pardon. Made living creatures. The same as the living creatures of Revelation, the four beasts, four living creatures. Let's go back to Acts 1. And keep your thinking caps on. Don't go wandering around minds if you're doing it. Just don't do that. Third verse of Acts 1, to whom he showed himself alive, a living creature, after his passion, by many infallible proofs. Let's go to 9 and 41. Now that's basic, the same word, so we're not just twisting or changing anything. Verse 41, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive, a living creature. Christ dead, come back, living creature. This woman had died, come back, she's a living creature. Body's different. A lot of things different, but that word's the same. A living creature. That's what it says. 20 and 21, same book. Testifying both to the Jews. Maybe I wonder if I got this one right. Might have got this one wrong. No, got a little mistake there. Don't worry about it. There's more verses the same. 25 and 19. But have certain questions against him of their own superstition, and one Jesus which was dead, which Paul affirmed to be alive or was a living creature. Now with this, we go back and read 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All right, he's risen, resurrection. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made living creatures, a living creation. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, he's the first living creation. The first living creature from the dead. And at his presence, there will be others. And remember, there were not any more living like him, except he was present. And he was present first in the Spirit before it came flesh. So watch your tape. Never fails. See? Now, don't stop. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment given unto them, and I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived. Resurrection. See? Creature. Now, get what I'm saying? This life that we are living here in the flesh, which life was from the beginning, or was it? See, that's the question. Is the same life that will go into the resurrection? If you weren't back there in the beginning, a part of him, how will you be in the first resurrection? Were you alive back there? What were you? However, and note carefully, It is a redeemed life. A redeemed Zoe. Redeemed means bought back. Not changed, bought back. Now watch for changes in the right places. Zoe was wonderful and of God, but fallen. Either was or wasn't. It is now a life that has received an infusion from God, a seal of placing. But it is the same life and no longer fallen. And it is now one that is destined to glorification, even as it was from the beginning. For Jesus, who did not bypass the theophany, said, give me the glory that I had in that beginning. We will have the glory we were predestinated to, though we missed the theophany. Who's we? First Corinthians 3, I beg your pardon, 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Do you believe that? All right, listen. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I Zoe. Yet not I, but Christ Zoe's in me. And the Zoe that in I, Zoe in the flesh, I Zoe by the faith of the Son of God, who agaped me and gave himself for me. Let's read it again without throwing anything in there. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm in union with him. I'm living, but I'm not living. We say the guy's nuts. No, he's not. You get a man that totally enthralls you and takes you over body, soul, and mind through various processes. You're living, but you're not living because somebody's living through you. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, where was he before? Same flesh, same person. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's telling you that through Calvary, he was allowed to redemption by the blood to be sealed back to God. And now in this life, there is somebody living in him and through him. But he's still living. Now be careful and get this. You, the person, you, the soul, have a body and spirit. Sure do. You in that body and spirit possess attributes of love, memory, conscience, faith, prayer, and all that Brother Branham said lay in the soul and the spirit, quoting Larkin. Larkin must have had a genuine revelation. And I can prove by Scripture that Larkin is right concerning the soul, because the rich man lifted up his soul in hell, and he had memory, and he had affection. He loved his brother, and he had a memory, and he had feelings. And he understood worship. You bet. So let's not sell Brother Branham and Dr. Larkin wrong or short. But you and all of it, whatever you are, causes you to, we're in a fallen state. Now, when you are born again, those attributes or whatever you were intrinsically and basically are still there, but now your love and faith and worship and conscience, etc., leave the realm of the human or the fallen nature and begin to operate by the Spirit of God, which is itself motivated to the Word because it is the Word. actually living word. See, that's why I took Zoe and loved the same way. I want to show you how they run. If you are reborn, then you and what it is that makes the real you are reborn. And you got an infusion of light. This is a transformation. As it says over here in 1 Corinthians. The 5th chapter, 45b. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. You had lost something. Now you've got something replacing, something that's going to take you there. Now remember that. Now let's read on 46 to 48. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward that which is spiritual. Now is he telling you that something came in there, plucked everything out, and put something else in there? Or is he telling you very flat that you had those things in there and you were by nature a certain way until a life came in there, an infusion came in there, and now what was in there changed per se in its way? Well, let's keep on going. The first man is the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they that are also earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they that are also heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, is he telling you got to go way down the road and wait for the resurrection? Or is he telling you right there that when you are born again, you can expect a literal change in everything that was you naturally? And I want to ask you a question. What have you got since you were born again you didn't have before? And I'm talking in terms now, something which is very basic and intrinsic, and also very material. Or did the blood cleanse you? And therefore what was there was cleansed. And then what came in gave you an absolute new direction of what you had. Well, you got to look at these things to see where they go. I don't really claim to have all the answers, but I'm looking for some answers. Now, we read 46 and 48, and we are coming to, of course, the image of the physical, one day, going to be changed. Now, Brother Branham said, if I drop this handkerchief, and it comes back a book, that is not resurrection, that's replacement. Then if I'm going to come back in a resurrection, I will not come back as a replacement. And Paul will still be a little footnote, stooped over. I don't think he'll be stooped over. Be straightened up. Push to be hooked nose. You feel that the resurrection will make you beautiful creatures. If I'm not beautiful now, forget it. Because I never will be. And if you're not beautiful now, forget it. Right. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you flat. There's a perversion where people's minds are still messed up. I don't go into shock looking at a three-way mirror. I look at him in a three-way mirror and laugh. I say, hey, not bad for an old goat. 70 years old, still got some hair. They say when you start to see you've lost some of your hair, 70% gone already. Watch it there, Greg. You got a lot of hair right now. Well, hair's looking at you. Might as well relax, kid. You ain't meant for heaven in the first place. You ain't going to be win some beauty contest. You still love stuff. You'll need a rebirth somewhere down the line. See? Now it says we've borne the image of the earthy. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. We're supposed to be living in touch with the same thing right now. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God and so on. But we're going to come to it. Now, I say as we got an infusion of life, watch this person you now. Watch this person now. Let's go to Galatians. 5th chapter, 16 to 25. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, you better have a spiritual walking. Now, evidently, I am not under a complete compulsion. As Brother Branham said, within my soul there is one thing, a choice. And I have that choice to receive Christ or reject Him. I have the choice now to walk in the Spirit or simply live in the Spirit or live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. For Paul said, and get this, I'm not lying, he said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in it. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So therefore, there's still plenty in you that can go either way. And you've got what it takes now to go the right way. What's the right way? That's what we're driving at, see? After we're talking about all this phony stuff about life and love and everything else, let's find right ways. Let's find where we're going. But the prophet made some strong statements. I'll read them. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. Ha! Did that ever do that before you were born again? Oh, boy. Fact. You ran to right. The Spirit and the flesh were both willing. They're contrary one to another. You cannot do the things you would do, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under law. That old law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, sinners with you. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Which I tell you before, as I've told in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, tells you right there, the rebirth positively changes things around. It changes what you might call the fount and the manifestation of the fountain. Because that fountain has been washed in blood, has been sanctified and empowered by a light. So therefore, that fountain will come forth as the same fountain He was. But remember, you weren't born the way He was. You're born with sex, with the same sex drive and the whole thing there. Freud was more right than people thought he was. It's too bad he went back on what he said. Maybe not all the way, but there's a lot there. All right. The evidence of the baptism or infusion of life is belief of the Word. Now we're looking at it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever spirit you're led by, infusion or non-infusion, you watch how you go there. Then let's see if we're born again. If you're born again, you're going to go right to that Word. You're going to have a belief in the Word, okay? Let's start working on it. We're going to read in 15 of the Anointed Ones of the End Time. Paragraph 59. Notice. But it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Now here's the stuff about love and everything else people talk about. And they say fruit is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And if you've got love, it proves you have got everything because you see everything according to 1 Corinthians, which is mentioned in love in Galatians 5, is in there. So that has got you. Brother Branham himself taught it and was wrong. Yes, you bet it's right. Yep. If I'd have just known that word dissimulation and hypocrisy, I'd have really had him tied in knots that night. Back in 1963. I said, Brother Branham, it's tongues to the supernatural. He said, it can be imitated. Are you trying to tell me that love cannot be imitated? He said, that's true. I said, Brother Branham, tell me one thing. Would you not consider the highest form of love would be for a man to give his life for another? Or for a cause? And he said, yes, Brother Dale. I said, my Bible tells me, though I give him a body burn, I still don't necessarily have love. Where is it now? He said, you got me, lady. You battled me. And I'm not lying. 21 years later. I beg your pardon, 7 years later. He said, by vision, God showed him the evidence of believing the word for the hour. Why? Because that is the evidence. Oh, you say, Brother Dale, I believe the other. You believe what you want. Be my guest. You don't belong here anyway. You got no time for my message. You got no time for me. You got no time for Brother Branham. No time for the word of God. You just say you do, but you don't. You don't believe the prophet. You come against that. Listen. Man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. Here's your book of life, a man's book of life coming up. That could be possible, for the fruit will tell it. What is fruit? It's the word. For the fruit, for the season, that's what it is. Their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is? Man's doctrine, denominator's doctrine, or God's word for the season. Now he tells you right there. Now, I knew the day would have to come when Brother Branham would say it. I sat waiting for him to say it. He said it back in 1965, about July the 25th. I think it was, somewhere in that area. Let's go further. Let's go to page 25. 91 to the end time. They said, 104. So they went out and made the yoke, he did, and put it upon his neck and went before the people and said, oh, we're the great people of God. Why, we're Israel. That's that phony prophecy. We're sincere in a synagogue. We attend every Sunday. We offer sacrifice. We pay in our money. How could Nebuchadnezzar ever hold the holy things of God? Said, your sins did it. God said, if you'll keep my commandments, I won't do this, but if you don't, it's coming to you. That's exactly right. Still the same. Keep his commandments, his word for the hour what he promised. And that means the divine prescription. In other words, the prognosis. Anybody's got a half an ounce of brain knows he's a sinner waiting God. What's the prognosis? Okay? He tells you. Keep that word. Now, with that, we go to where Brother Branham read. It's Matthew 7. Verse 15, but beware of false prophets, which come to you in cheap clothing, which is outwardly they're 100% cheap. Or you say, well, Brother Vail, you see, what it is, those fellows that are 100% cheap, you see, what they do, they pretend that they're not adulterous, but you see, they sneak around a house of prostitution. You're nuts. You're stupid. They don't speak anywhere. They live godly lives. They don't have women. They don't knock over banks and mug old ladies. Curse and swear and get drunk. So don't trick them. He doesn't run a speaking in adultery. He hates it. He hates his talk. He hates his flesh. These guys aren't a bunch of jerks. They're 100% cheap. Look at it. But inside, they're ravening wolves. By their fruits, you know. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Now watch it. Sheep, wolves, animals. Now he goes to a prince. Changing his metaphor, so to speak, his horse in midstream. All right. Don't you know what he's talking about? The original whoop was the devil. And he perverted the word of God. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Who was the original human evil tree, so to speak? Cain. Because his deeds were evil. He took the word of God and perverted it. Had there been a people come to Cain and say, Cain, you idiot, there's no God. What do you mean there's no God? How did you do that, you stupid? Don't tell me there's no God. There is a God. No, there's a God. But he's wrong. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He killed. Destroyed. As far as he could be at that time, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, but he's used to what the devil is. A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. The elect cannot be deceived. There's no way the elect go off the word. There's no way the other can be on the word. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast to fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you know them, and if they come speaking in tongues and performing miracles, and they're off the word, they're false prophets. Let's go to Matthew 24 where Jesus said it. Now he said, there shall rise false Christ and false prophets. Show great signs and wonders. Just as much, so much the apostle had seen the very elect. Very elect, behold, I told you before. Where did you tell them? Matthew 7. That's what he told them. He already knew about it. Okay. That word spiritually revealed is the same gauge or plumb line for love manifested as it is the plumb line to let you know if you're born again, because a walk in the Spirit goes with it. Oh, I'm just naming you down tonight. How do you know anything outside of that word? And how do you know anything unless it's divided correctly? You'll never be approved. That's the very thing that the Word of God says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he said back there in the Septuagint to Cain. He said, thou hast offered right. But if thou hast not correctly divided, hast thou not sinned? There's your original concept. Now listen. Cain was a murderer from the beginning. He never killed and made him a murderer. He was a murderer. What are people going to get to view their heads in their hearts? Cain couldn't. Abel couldn't. But don't think he didn't stand for the truth. Or they say, well, you see, when Cain came against Abel, Abel said, oh, okay, Cain, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, yes, brother Cain, it's beautiful. Oh, yes, it's lovely. He said, Cain, let me tell you. The fire came down and took my temper. I'm vindicated. Well, let's see where his vindication goes. And I slashed her throat with this jagged rock. And the blood cried out. Don't think for one minute we're praying some kind of goofy nonsense. He had a prophet in Antelope. He took us right back. Took us back. He said, this prophet of the things were hidden before the foundation of the world. Tomorrow I want to show you what a great prophet we really had. Not that I can do too much, but I'm afraid that I can't do anything. All right, the same where that word spirit revealed is the same gauge or plumb line for love. Let you know if you're born again. Let you know if you got life. Let you know if you're changed. Then it's got to be the same for love and for everything. If it's a plumb line of life, because we're involved with our works and our fruit. To let you know if you're reborn, because walking the Spirit goes with it. If your life, you, the soul life took on the word, then your attributes did also. It can't do otherwise. Soul love is love, even as life is life, but as with life. Now watch, as with life, the union of the Spirit. Now watch. Romans the 5th chapter. Here's where I believe I'm right in what I'm teaching. If I go to the Bible, of course you can prove anything by the Bible, you know. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you now. Let's go to the 9th verse. No, 5th verse. I think about maybe 5th time and time. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See? Now listen. The light that redeemed you back. The light that stood there literally replacing and yet not replacing. Paul's not saying, hallelujah, I got born again. Oh, Paul went up, bless God. Now here's this lovely corpse standing here, Jesus. Come in and take over. Oh, we'd all like that, wouldn't we? Zombies. No, God doesn't deal with zombies. You got to stand there as you that you are, brother, sister, redeemed. You got to stand right there with that same spirit. That life. Life to life. Now, listen to me. That life of God has attributes the same as your life had attributes. Now, this time there's a love by the Holy Ghost, right, that stands there right with your love. Joined. There's an attribute that needed redeemed. Because if you got redeemed, then all of you got redeemed, and your body's waiting for it, and that has already been redeemed by the fact the blood fell on the earth and you are earth. You're just waiting merely for the time to come. It's all yours. We're ushered into the millennium already. The ushering in is going on, and people don't believe nothing anymore. All right. Then all that was in the Holy Spirit, see, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, all those things. Like Brother Brown's attached to a perfect man. Take the blood out of a man, put in the blood of Jesus Christ. That sounds good. When did your blood ever go out of you? He's telling you one thing, it's time for your blood to step aside. Now, as I said a couple of times, a little while ago, concerning love, that love was the very thing that Brother Branham talked about. He said, I've got a little gift to get out of the way. And Paul says the same thing. With the Holy Spirit baptism, you can get out of the way. And all the attributes that lie in you can get out of the way. So that the love of the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in your heart. Has now put you in a place of redemption so that you will no longer have a phony love, but you'll have a genuine 100% love. And your love will be different. This is what the church doesn't want to understand. Let's keep moving. Now, the unsaved can outlove the saved any day, because one is broadcast apart from the renewed mind, and the other is confined exclusively to the renewed mind. You see it by the Word of God. All right, let's keep going. The rule of narrow is the gate does not change. It always stays narrow. Even after rebirth. The children of the desolate, the chaotic, the wilderness, those left apart from God are many more than the children of the married woman. Then aggregate-wise, they'll produce more work. Brother Branham said the mule outworked the horse 10 to 1. And then they just stay around long enough to kick their head off your teeth. So what about works and fruit? There are many more. There's your kind old priest. In contradistinction to that renegade Jesus that broke the bruised reed and quenched the smoking flax. Yeah. He broke the bruised reed. He said, it's over.
He took the life out of their ceremony, put it in the Holy Ghost and the Gentile bride. He didn't do that with us. We're still here. The oil and the wine did not decrease and get put away. That was that renegade king. Well, the kind old priest was there. The kind old priest lifted his eyes up in hell, too. See? Now, Brother Branham said that. Before he died, he literally belabored the point of a phony love that everybody thinks is so great. All right. We want to start to wind down, hopefully. We've got to know the last two pages can be the roughest of all. So, let's go to 1 John 4 and 10. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's look at it. Now what? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Now let's get to the scripture. I've quoted time after time. John 15:24. Jesus said, if I had not done the work that no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. You've got churches, they send the missionaries and they die. People deny themselves left and right. They go to every man of extreme. And to turn down God and that man says, you hate God. Oh, but I love God. I listen to me for God's sake. People listen. Quit making God a liar for once. Just once, quit making him a liar. Quit making him alive. Just once in your life, quit making him alive. I'm shocking you. Some of you can't take this on me. And you take it. I'm going to tell you. Let's get this right. Jesus said, we love you, Lord! Then so much for your stinking rotten love. What you call love is hate of God. Now where do you stand? That's all I'm trying to teach in the series. I'm not trying to take something from you, brother, sister. I'm not trying to take your sweetness and your kindness and your goodness and all these things. I'm trying to show you something. You're different. You're born. They hated William Branham. They couldn't wait for him to die. And when they died, they had a great wake, a great Irish wake, so to speak. Pentecost wake. And the one that said, well, I'm glad that lying false prophet died. There are people right today, brother, sister, that are in the never, never land, right today. The never, never land of death, that Brother Banner said, don't go there. Don't go there, fall, like an eternal hell. He said, I'd sooner be cast into hell of flame than go through that. They're there now, my brother and my sister. They're there now. Oh, they swore they loved God. And they had altar calls. They pleaded. They sweat. They also stole and robbed and lied. Down. Don't you understand? Lost the word. You do what you want. I believe my back. You see, Brother Valley went to that lovely church of Christ. That lovely spirit. Oh, they were so nice. I've been through too. Oh, like nice, nice people. All beautiful people. All there. Lovely, lovely people. Yes. I'm talking about a real man that I met. I said, I believe that man. He got the Holy Ghost. That man would have stood up and blasphemed. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got the Pentecostal spirit of hell on you, haven't you? Because you judge what? The word by the spirit. Holy there, he's a rat, he's a skunk, he raves and he does. Oh, like my good friend Brother Branham, a very fine Pentecostal brother. Oh, Brother Bill, I can't take him. He rots and he raves all the time. I can't stop, he's rotting and raving. Where is he tonight, brother? Because he's dead. Yeah. You better take yourself the next brother. I'm not trying to scare. I just want to get you think I listen. I'm fixing to leave there. I want to get straight. Not by an undertaker either. I want to get right in my heart, my life. I want to know I'm not kidding with you. All right. The 19th verse of the same chapter. We love him because he first loved us. But the Holy Ghost has got to be shed abroad in your heart. And no Holy Ghost said, ha, who's he in here? Let's find out more tomorrow. I could be wrong. Wrong tonight, wrong tomorrow. Just don't argue. You say you need the prophet, because I've got you over there. Yeah. I got to get. And I could be using the devil, too. Oh, yeah. Tell you, I've got no problem. I don't have a problem. People have a problem with me. Listen, look at the background. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is love. Then if your God is love apart from the Word, you hate. See, Brother Dale, don't say that because they don't. You're a liar. Let every word of man be a lie, and let God be truth. Because you're going to have to be something true before you die. That's it. It's no more than Matthew 7:15. Ravening wolves inside of sheep clothing. What is it really? Let's find out. Let's go find out. We go to 1 Peter. 1:18-23. For as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain behavior received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish, who verily was foreordained from before the foundation of the world and was manifest, brought into obvious view in these last times for you. He's brought in view for us today, for our time too. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You can love your brother with a phony, two-bit, denominational, political, welfare love. And hate a true son of God with a hat. God filioed us, little children. He became flesh. You have fellowship. You know one day you're going to see God in the form? Pillar of fire? Nah, that's for a prophet. Prophets don't want that pillar of fire form either. They want to see him. First thing, Brother Branham, the man of the pillar of fire, he got there in a vision. He said, well, I'd like to go to him and see him. He said, I'm sorry, but that's not right. It isn't? No, that's it. Oh. But if he'll come to you, don't worry. You don't have to go to him. He'll come to you. That's all. Well, who do you think is coming down to meet you? Oh, come on. Brother, sister, listen. You got a lovely God. If you just listen. All right, listen. Being born again. Not a corruptible seed. It's a rebirth. And it's incorruptible by the word. I always thought that was sperma, but it's not. It's the actual word seed. Like man planted the seed. Spora. Which lives and abides forever. So now you know something. You know whether you've got genuine love, genuine meekness, genuine temper, genuine anything. You don't have to worry anymore. That renegade Jesus that cleansed the temple. The renegade Jesus who stood there and a woman was taken in the act of adultery. And he turns and he says to those lovely, righteous, wonderful Pharisees, you bunch of birds. and took the hand of a little fallen rapscallion who done it? Prostitute.
They didn't know the first thing about love. He loved his own brother, sister.
I'm trying to tell you something. A fallen son is a fallen son, and there is no depth he can't go to as a fallen son. But God's going to get him back. And when he gets him back, he isn't fallen anymore. And the only thing he's got to do is learn to get out of the way. Everything in Christianity, brother, sister, you're born again, is a battle. And love is a battle, the same as everything else. Yeah. And in the soul lies one thing which is choice. And in the baptism is revelation. So if you want, and I want,
we can walk in the Spirit and demonstrate real love. You look around, you say, Brother Bale, there's people I know that they're real nice people, but oh my God, the stuff you'll pull up. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You're looking at the thing I'm looking at tonight. And it's all with somebody you're choosing or excusing, isn't it? Why don't we just go to the Word of God and find us? Why don't we take a look at it? And understand that the very thing that we often think manifests the great love is a manifestation of hatred toward the one who came down to a predestined prophet and stood there and proved that he was there and gave the word. And oh, these sweet, kind people, when the prophet went to one certain man whose very name has to do with love. But he's sooner living his traditions and his creeds and his dogmas. And Brother Branham told him, I don't know what he told him. I understand by witness that stood there and he wasn't allowed to listen. He said the brother's tears rolled down his cheeks and he kicked his toes into the sand. Hung his head and walked off. Oh yes, men say they love God, love the prophet. You know, a woman, you can't trust her too much. You don't say Gigi, right? She's sneaky. Old Gigi over there wrote a letter. The preacher that really, really was supposed to be a real friend to Brother Branham. Brother Branham always names and everybody, almost so many pictures he tried. And so he went the whole way. He wrote the letter named for son-in-law. The letter came back, and the man said, I've always believed in three gods and still will. Come on, start thinking, brother. Start thinking, Brother Branham said that man had to be a pagan and idolater. Come on. Where's the love? Where's the love? Phony love you've got. You took the agape love. Your supreme love, and you put it on something not there that somebody does. You didn't. If your brother Bale don't do it, then I'll tell you one. The church closes to me. There'll be no foot washing to me. Forget it. You go home and I'm going home. And don't come knocking on my door. Because if I go to hell, I'm going to preach what I preach. As the prophet says. The Word of God says. I might not know too much, but there's one thing I know this. Okay. There is no more than 1 John 4 and 5. They are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world heareth them. And they ought to pay each other. Oh, 1 John 3. Here's the good one, 11 to 13. For this is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. I heard another message from before that beginning. Yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
before there was a speck of stardust or one person to manifest love to, there was that word there. Don't you get these messages mixed up. God had three beginning messages. Huh? So don't go around. Hey, Brother Bill, you're mad at us. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm preaching against principles that are wrong, brothers and sisters. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. What was Abel's righteous deed? The Bible tells you, shedding the blood. What was Cain's unrighteous one? Obeying the word of God without a revelation, offering proof. And proof signifies resurrection. Oh, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Who needs the blood? Who needs the prophet? I got you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, this prophet, Brother Bale, this prophet stuff, oh, spare me. Please spare me. Because, hallelujah, I've got Jesus. You're alive. I could die for it. I pray. I hope God I'm ready. I'm... If I need prayer, brother, you know I need prayer preaching like this. I stuck my neck out a million yards in this church, a million yards every place I go because I'm a jackass. I hope I'm a fool for Christ. I don't know. I can't vote. I can't know anything. But I know this word. If I die and go to hell, this word of judgment is going to judge you because whether it's in my mouth or the mouth of a doorknob or anybody else, it's that word that counts. This is what it's all about, a wolf in sheep clothing, a murderer. Marvel not, my brother, the world hates you. And so, therefore, Cain was of the world. But he's a brother. He owed him time. But don't filio him like you filio your dear sisters in Jesus Christ and dear brothers in Jesus Christ. And then don't filio the women as though they're little pawns you can lie in bed with them somewhere and have intercourse. Marriage and divorce are serious things. Because men do not treat their wives as sisters. That's not even filial, that's erotic. Erotic love. Merciful God. Yeah. It is John, 1 John 1, 5 to 7, this is what it's all about. This then is the message we've heard of him, and declare that God is light. In the beginning was the Word, words of God. Now he's light. Now he's love. And if he's not God in you, there's no light, there's no love. And if he is, there's a battle. I've been crucified. I've been crucified. But the day I was dead in sins, and now I'm crucified. I'm dead again. Yeah, you're dead again. Christ dead in the right way. Wonderful. Now we get somewhere. Now the old love gets replaced. Now the old temperance gets replaced. Everything gets replaced. You're redeemed. You're brought back. Listen, brother, sister, I believe we're going to get there. I believe this word I preach, I believe it is so true that God's going to do something within me and you people. I wouldn't be preaching it. I stand on it. If I die, I die. Nobody came back yet. There's a record. But I believe they're standing amongst us now. He said, Brother Bell, I don't know that. I don't either, but I believe it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know I shock people a bit to me. There is neither time nor space left anymore. I want to talk about a bride. I don't see a bride and athlete here. I see one bride. I don't see time. I don't see space. I don't see anything anymore. I see him. I say, who do you think you are? I ain't nobody. I could go to hell tomorrow. I ain't nobody. You do what you want. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. You're not the truth. Hey. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood, and only then does it cleanse.
And it's jealousy. There would be no manifestation of this sin. Out of close now, maybe. Not necessary. 9 o'clock, not too late. We can all cancel tomorrow if I'm too tired. 1 Peter 1:22-23, again, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You say, how did you do it? What obedience? You were a child. The Father called, and you came. Oh, honey, I've got a lovely ice cream cone for you. Hey, mommy, I'm coming. That's all it was. Child obeyed. That's when I came to the Lord. I said, oh, God, I got to help. Well, right, I'm the one to help you. Oh, I said, oh, goody, goody, goody. Obedience. Nothing to it. Don't you obey your appetite when there's a lovely chocolate sundae there? Don't you obey your appetite when you get time? You want to see? What's the big deal? You look at this, oh, my, what is this anyway? It's just what it is. Oh, my, my. Let me read something. I don't want to be foolish and up here, but sometimes I've got to spread it on thick with a towel to get it across, because it's, I know we all live in this crazy, this God-forsaken land today where everything is almost impenetrable concerning these God. But listen, we are bound to give thanks always to God, you brethren, because, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, you're already chosen to it. So when the eagle screamed, you just, that was it. What obedience? It's instinctual in Christ. You were meant to be. So you obeyed. You obeyed. The truth through the Spirit. It had to take the Spirit. With unfeigned love of the brethren. With that unfeigned filial. There's no kooky amongst us anymore. There's no buttering up anybody anymore. No. You don't have to. No more politics anymore. It's what Peter spoke of. I read it in 1 Peter. What you see is what you get. No more hypocrisy. Nobody's perfect. Except in Christ. But you're you. Being born again, not of corruptible, that seed that was sown wrong, that spora, but of the incorruptible, which does what? It brings forth 30, 60, and 100, depending if you get out of the way. Watch how the Spirit will do things. When you surrender your mind, when you surrender yourself, you watch it begin to move. Yeah. When you make up your mind, you'd be surprised. The realms you can enter into. The realms of glory. Okay. A purified soul alone can bring forth unfeigned brotherly family love amongst us. Now, if you're not born again, you'll be a con artist. You won't pull. You won't pull your shit. That's right. Now, Brother Branham said, now let's get this back, church. Because I've had a little something against some. Because some of you haven't been on your toes the way you should. Now, I'm not holding against you. I'm just letting you know that, look, you better eat. We're in it together, we eat. Brother Branham said, now look, he said, it's Johnny's turn to bring the wood in. But Johnny doesn't bring the wood. And Mama says, now, George, get the wood. And he ain't going to do it. It's up to him to do it. Brother Bannon says, you step in and don't wait for somebody. Yeah? Now, we have that over there. I bide my time and I watch. And I'm letting you know, brother, sister, the same as I know you know. If I cannot lift 10 pounds today, tomorrow morning, I will not miraculously bless it. I won't be able to lift it now. God's not in that miracle kind of business. The miracle is when you dedicate. I've often told you too, and I'm not nagging you, let's get understand this fact. I've got to keep warning you. This church can die under my ministry. Because I preach way over people's heads. It takes sometimes 10 years, 5 years, 4 years. Even again, know what I'm saying. I had one preacher tell me, Brother Dale came through 10 years ago. He never understood a word of this. No. We watch and we learn. This kind of teaching, you can die under. Because I'm laying out principle right down the line. And if at all, it is as a principle that you do not literally eat and drink and come into it that stands there before you. You are like the church I spoke of. We are all like the church I spoke of. When Paul the Apostle said, he said, you do not come to church for the better every time you come, it gets worse. And then you take the communion and confirm it under your back. Nobody here is doing a lot of sin and all, but there is a lot of charism. And I don't ride herd, I just tell you people. Lovely people. Good people. Couldn't love anybody more. Or be loved more than anybody. But you see, I've got to let you know my ministry and tell you very, very sincerely. That you can die under or you can live under. Come, we tell you something. This word, I believe with all my heart, in the right soil, properly fertile, will bring forth a fruit unto immortality. We're looking at it now. We're looking at genuine love. We're looking at genuine love. It's there. No more phony. No more beating the drum. I don't pull for a crowd. It's a big crowd than that, but I'm pulled for. You do what you want. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I just understand, please. I'm talking about a principle. I'm speaking in terms of principle. If you're hurt, I beg your pardon. I don't mean it that way. But I want you to know a purified soul alone can bring forth unfeigned brotherly love, a real family amongst us. That's why I said I stuck my neck out several weeks ago preaching on this subject when I said, I believe a love has developed amongst us. And I said, when I do, you watch the devil do everything to destroy us because I stuck my neck out. And I haven't called you to tears and repentance around this aisle like other brethren did. And everybody screams and shouts and everything else and goes, come off the word. I've led you to the word and no place else. Do what you want, the same as I'll do what I want. Yeah. Right down the line. See, now, I love you just really very dearly. Now listen, it's the same purified soul and renewed mind that brings forth Romans, the 12th chapter, 1 to 21. I'm not saying you can't get right there. I'm saying you can get there. But don't think you get it only because you sit under Lee Dale's ministry. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash in the world. It doesn't rub off. I haven't got to rub off anyway, any more than the prophet has. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or sacrifice. How could your body be sacrificially given to God, except God has already approved it. The same as He approved the lamb to die, He's approved you and me to live for Him. He said, you mean to tell me the same approbation? Yes, the same approbation. Sheep were sheep. And be not conformed. That is fashion after this world, and Brother Branham taught on that. But be transformed, transfigured, go through metamorphosis. By the renewing of your mind. This is the age of the mind. Yeah. The age of the mind. Brother Branham said so. The last moving part is the eye. That's the eye. Single eye. An eye single, the whole body full of light. Going to bring the dead up. This message is going to do it. Not that we're going to call them out, but as this message is required, they without us cannot be made perfect. That's finished, polished off the whole thing. Now, that you may prove what is that good, except for the will of God. It's been done. That which you prove it has come. I say through the grace given unto every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now that's what it says in First Thessalonians. That we which are alive and remain shall not prevent, go before. And the literal translation is take a precedence over or any preeminence. So in this hour when he's here, descend with a shout, the head of the church to raise the dead, don't anybody get high-minded. Now let your mind take in the word of God and don't get high-minded. Think soberly. And Brother Branham said the thing that bugged him was the fact that we're not sober and sincere enough. In this mind age, repent, change your mind. Not serious. Now he said, be sober. And God had dealt the measure of faith, and the measure of faith is what? Elohim before Abraham. The full assurance of faith. You don't look anywhere anymore except to him. Because you found out there's nothing to look to within or without of yourself. Brother Man said, Abraham, under covenant of grace, he didn't even look at what his works, he didn't look at his conduct. Consider not his own body dead, nor yet Sarah's. All right, we're to that area. For we have many members in one body, all members not the same of us. We being many are one body in Christ, every member one of another, having gifts different according to grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to perverse the faith, ministry, waiting and ministering, he that teaches and teaching, he that exhorts and exhortates, he that gives with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy and cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. What is evil? Off the word. I've got no controversy with men. I don't care what they do, really. When they start infringing on us and say we can't say so-and-so and do so-and-so, which is the word of God, then I rise up on my high horse. And of course, I'm a very bad person for doing that. Then why did you condemn Jesus and Paul? Paul got so mad at Barnabas after the Holy Ghost separated him. He said, we're finished. And God said, that's very good. I'll give you a better guy than ever. So he gave him Silas. Nobody heard of Barnabas again. Like the way God does things? No, nobody does. But God does. No, because we got our own smug, stupid idea. Just like Moses, he went, when God spoke to Moses, he said, I'm going to send you down there, and I'm going to deliver you with your high hand, and he said, then I'm going to destroy Pharaoh. And Moses said, oh, wonderful. And he went down, and he said, let's hold a prayer meeting. Because how did I love dear old Pharaoh? Back in those days, he treated me so good. I was brought up at his daughter's knee, and I just can't turn Pharaoh over. And so, Pharaoh, we're going to pray, and he's going to get saved. Why, Moses had more love than God. He could teach God a few things. Well, I think, Brother Branham, how did he go before the public when he said, I don't pray for America anymore? Oh, you don't! You're blinking your eyes? Go ahead, blink. You're getting second thoughts? Well, you say what you want. I told you the prophecy. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just trying to get one thing lined up. Get the word lined up, and then you'll see where love really goes. You'll see where it takes you. You'll see that love is meekness with a bad bone. It's not wishy-washy corruption. It's not hard-nosed dogmatism. How hard-nosed was Jesus when that fellow was there by the pool and needed help? How hard-nosed was he when the little woman came in and she'd been in sin? A woman of the street. And she cried and cried and washed his feet with her tears. How hard-nosed was he? Get out of here. That woman they caught. Okay, boys. I'll throw the first stone. Everybody throw a stone. Ha! Took her part. Where was his hard-nosed? He hard-nosed with that word, Brother Fisher, because he said he's faced like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Paul was in the same image. I don't say that I am too much, but hopefully we'll get there. Hate the evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love. Well, it's not a dirty word after all, is it, this filial love? Why shouldn't I filial you and you filial me? Real brothers and sisters. Like Brother Brandon said, Brandon's fighting in the backyard, that's fine, but, you know, if they fight in the front yard, it's a little different, but he said, don't ever try to step in. You'll find it, we'll turn around, and you won't be so happy. Sure, you get so busy fighting for the word and loving the word, you won't have time to fight each other. Let the word have its way. In honor, prefer one another. Well, that I've done that, brother. I'll just have the other fellow do the work. You get all the credit. Now, that's an idea. Who's going to elect to be that fall guy? That's a nice little thought. Not spoffing in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient tribulation. Continuance in the prayer. Distributing up to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Are your homes open? We get the word hospital. The building where people come in. And you take care of it. Ha! That balloon, eh? We had about 10 people sleeping in our house one time, and they had the nerve to step and laugh. Marilyn cracked soaps and Brian backed his food head off with all the rest of them. But my wife and me, our little health regimen we take, I ain't going to tell you about it, but our business. They thought they had a ball. We didn't mind. We would tell them some more jokes next time. They'd come back and have more fun, except that I like to sleep a little more than I used to, kids, so just, you know, be a little nicer. Well, yeah, I could turn my noisemaker up so loud I can't sleep either. Hospitality. They felt good. We felt good. Sure. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. You can't mingle your tears with something wrong. You can't be happy for somebody, something wrong. Be the same mind one to another. Oh, I can really slop that love up, but I'm not too good at giving it. Well, okay, sloppy. You're a hog, you ain't a sheep. I'm going to get in trouble. Call the meeting. Call the meeting off, Bill, while I got time. Well, it says that. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things on the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, he knew it would be tough. But it can be done. Dear beloved, avenge not yourself. Rather give place to wrath. As written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. In other words, if you blow your stack, get over it. Get over it. Do something about it. So you won't do it the next time. We'll taper off or something's going to happen. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. How can your enemy be your brother? If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you'll heat coals of fire in his head. You can overcome evil with good. Now tell you some thoughts on love here. Now you can't do that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't know what to do unless God's word told you. You see? But a lot of people think, hey, that love bit, you know, you just got to be wishy-washy and go to pieces. No, you hold a standard. You hold a standard. But then you treat people the way that you want to be treated yourself under the same conditions. Not like the justice and the cops and everybody else. We're a different breed. Oh, yes, there is a false fruit. But never forget there is a true fruit. And listen, don't forget now, in the beginning, the very genesis of all things is word. Remember, it was that one in flesh that fell. So therefore, when God restored you and brought you back, he brought back all that fruit and everything in your life and mine that could make us living epistles, read and known of all men if we only want it. And you know something, brother, sister, it's easier to go God's way than to go your own. That's where the devil's always had us on the run. He's always convinced us, oh, this is hard. Someone might laugh. Oh, this wouldn't work out. Believe me, it does work out. I've told you time and time again, I thought I was badly abused when I had to pray food in the table. What a jerk I was to ever stop it. How many of you have prayed food in the table for a wife and little baby? you know, the first thing about it. And I thought God was not nice to me. Oh, brother, sister, how stupid can we get? Don't answer the question. There isn't any answer to it. You and I are just as stupid as we make up our minds against God. And remember, Brother Branham said, that person, although you and I are not that person, is the same as an atheist. He is a fool before God. Where he is, if he turns down the light. In the beginning, the very genesis of all things is the Word. He made all things birth. And spirit and fruit and gifts and all of it are so close that only the wise can understand and discern. You know why they're so close? Because in the beginning it was the real McCoy. And they began just shifting it and shifting it and shifting it. But one day, it's all going back. It's all going back. Yes, sir, only the wise will understand. That's not the foolish, but the wise virgin. The unregenerate works from an unborn soul. That's right. Unregenerate works come from an unborn soul. But the regenerate works will come from a word born one. I'm supposed to read something here, but I guess I didn't do it. Let me read it. In the evening time it shall be light. That's when comes Christ the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down to set himself head of the church. Then he will resurrect this church being his own body. And there's the body in the way God is expecting us as individuals to go. And the way he's brought his church in to go. Every church age. How'd they come in? By a messenger with the word. Holy Spirit bring them right in line. See, these fellows were not required what those fellows were. Now come on. This wasn't required what this was. See? But he brought his church up the same way. He brought his church up the same way he's bringing his people up. And Peter here said seven things. Faith, virtue, see coming up. Knowledge, temperance, patience, God's brotherly love. And brotherly kindness. And then the love of God, the Holy Ghost. Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Brother Branham said, justification gives way to sanctification. Sanctification gives way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. Headship is here. The prophet left. But Brother Man said, God doesn't take the spirit. Terrifier is going to lead us in. He's here, brother, sister, so there's no phony amongst us. What you see is what you get. No more hypocrisy. You know, people love hypocrisy so much. If little sister so-and-so would stop just being sister so-and-so, and it'd be frizzy and nicey the way they think it should be, then sister so-and-so will be so welcome to our club. But sister so-and-so doesn't understand that kind of life because she's just a transparent goofball. Like brother so-and-so up here. What you see is what you get, and worse. You don't know it by now, I'm sorry for you. You're a nice kid, but you're naive. The Holy Ghost in the person of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost. Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. And listen, what is the virtue of this age? Brotherly kindness. A real filial. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Doesn't say, hey, we're going to be political. We're going to stand around, scratch each other's back, and this and that. No. That's not what it's all about. But when we, not in our imagination, prostrate ourselves before a living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, a living godness, a living power, come by the living God, makes the living man in the living image, the stature of God. There's no counterfeit there. This is the hour when there's no counterfeit. Real came forth. William Branham was not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire was not the Son of Man. We saw the Son of Man in the form of the Holy Spirit come forth to ministry. We've got reality. Now he said, listen, quote a part of this. If you die and take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. Trouble is a lot of them never get embalmed. You take the blood of the man, he's gone. Then the only thing you can do is put another blood back in him. If he's going to live again, you took his blood out. Now, if we put the blood of Jesus Christ in, and that brings the faith of Jesus, the virtue of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the temperance of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the God of Jesus, and brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ, the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head that controls you. Your feet are the foundation, faith, amen, controlled by the head. That's the hour. Listen, brother, sister, pony is over. No more pony love, no more pony nothing. Now, Brother Branham, before he died, you know as well as I do, he came against this phony love stuff. And believe me, it took something for him to stand up in the faith. In the face and the faith of what is denominational dogma outside of Pentecost. That the evidence of the Holy Ghost is love. And he said, I'm sorry. It is not gift. It is not love. It is the Word. And everything you have, if you've got the Holy Ghost, give it the Word test. If you've got virtue, give it the Word test. If you've got a gift, give it the Word test. If you've got anything, give it the Word test. And so what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, listen. Words have been abused by people, misused, and everything else. There is a genuine filial love that God Himself has and wants us to have. And there's a genuine agape love that God has and wants you and me to have. And He wants it in the right places, in the right way, and we can do it because we have it. Now that's what communion and foot washing is all about. It's significant. Time's gone, more than gone. But I'm finished. Let's rise at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for love and mercy. And if we've overstepped ourselves, Lord, You know how to correct it. Because, Father, You give us the Word. We overbalance on one side. You help us to come on back. But we realize, Lord God, that we do not want to have anything which even is set forth as the truth. And that truth be surrounded by ice, which is certainly better than lukewarm. But You would sooner have the truth which is surrounded with heat, living, pulsating, vibrant, coming forth to the living seed of God. Now, Lord, we want above all else, as Your scripture said, which we know is the death, which is definitely a part of the aura of the love itself, which is absolutely word-based, to be tender, kind-hearted, merciful, showing sympathy, giving our strength the necessary, being weak with those that are weak, strong with those that are strong, adapting ourselves, in honor preferring each other, knowing that this is part of Armageddon. It's a part where the mind steps out from what it ever used to believe and wanted to do, and now steps out to the Word and dedicates the body to follow the Word. Lord, tonight, we can preach this way and know we're on target, and yet be so far off. We don't want that. We don't want to be those who come in and, as the prophet said, they sit there and enjoy the manna, but they die in the wilderness. We don't want that, Lord. Father, if I preach to vindicate myself, You know that that's not going to get anywhere. It's going to backfire me. But if I preach, Lord, because I'm seeking and want something real, believing there is something in there that is so genuine, that the full compassion and all the fine gestures that go with it will come forth in a reality. And as, Lord, in that great journey over into Canaan's land, there wasn't one sick amongst them. Neither will there be amongst us any phony love. Anything, Lord, which is false to Your reality that You have amongst us. Father, we look at ourselves and we know there's no use looking at ourselves. There's just no use. But we look to You and say, here we are, Lord. Maybe we're a whole lot closer and further than we thought we were. Maybe we're a whole lot further than we thought we were. We can't assess these things too good. But we do appreciate the Word and love it. Love to stand with the truth, Lord. But we don't want to be outside that realm of beauty, which the Apostle Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in it. Father, as we pray for an increase of understanding, which we know at this hour, Lord, we've also admitted that if there ever should be truth, this would be the hour for it. Could ever be these things that are set forth, this is the hour. Lord, we present ourselves a living sacrifice tonight. Maybe this minute, this second, we can't go all the way. But Lord, we do want to go all the way. We wouldn't want to come up there in your presence and be a part of a bride and stand to relish the glory, even though there'll come a time when memory's completely gone. If we know even for a little while we've been very abysmal, negligent, delinquent. And these things, Lord, that you set before us. We want to know that we've been a little honor and glory to you, just in a little bit anyway. When we think of these things, Father, everything just fades away. It's like the prophet said, everything fades, but Jesus has been him all the time. He comes into the full view. So help us in it. Father, that's all we can say. Just help us. Just keep working on us, Lord. Just keep purifying our minds and our hearts by this revealed word, Lord, to know that we don't have to, we don't have to be in the realm of the penny class anymore. I don't believe we do, Lord. Your prophet said Lot was maybe just a penny. Somebody else was a dime. He couldn't be a silver dollar like Abraham. And I don't want to be like William Branham, Lord. I want to be a silver dollar like him, but it would be nice to come up the way, even the way old Jacob came up, that he wrestled with you and you wrestled with him, really what it was, I suppose. And in that wrestling, he shrunk a little. He got more and more out of the way until he was a prince of Israel. Lord, that's what we're looking at tonight. We're sheep that went astray, sheep restored, and we're looking to you. Help us tonight, Lord, as we partake of these emblems. We know it shows forth the death of that lovely one who died. The blood scatters sin, there'll be no evidence. We know that there is a spotless, virtuous bride for the spotless Lamb of God. We know that. We appreciate that. But how we long to, because of something in us that longs to just fit into that mold, all the way down to have that genuine love, that meekness that Moses had, but that strength that went with it. Lord, we know that meekness is not weakness. It's real character. So, you got to help us. We throw the whole thing back in you, Lord. You got to put it all back on you. You got to build this house. You got to watch us. Forgive us of our sins, omission, commission. The thoughts of our minds, the intents of our hearts. Lord, tonight we believe we're going on. Onward and upward. Through you, in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Lord, bless you. Remain standing. The deacon, the brethren come forward. We're going to serve tonight. And you know how we come, just, I don't even know how you do it myself because of the way the seats are arranged, but you know how you do it. Just come from the back and around and and we'll just read a little tiny bit out of 1 Corinthians 11 here. For I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body is broken you. This do in remembrance of me, and after the same manner he took the cup and supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. this do these offering in remembrance of me. For as often you drink this, eat this bread and eat and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. In other words, you preach a sermon, you proclaim the Lord's death. There's a proclamation went through in the land. The proclamation is the day of grace is closed. Judgments of God are upon the earth. But at the same time, Elijah was sent, and so there's going to be a bride caught away. They'll not taste death. And we celebrate his death tonight knowing that as we do proclaim his death, we are just waiting to enter into physically his resurrection, which he bought for us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray with these elements, these emblems, may they be not taken lightly. May they be taken in faith. Real faith in God tonight. Real faith, Lord, that there's not going to be, as we know, one word of your promise fail. Neither, Lord, can we accept in ourselves. We reach out tonight through grace, absolute grace, and no other way or reason to claim, Lord, that your promise will not fail in us. No, but Lord, those mighty virtues sealed in God himself in headship in every living temple and in the temple, the corporate body itself. Bless therefore the bread and the wine in a way, Lord, which brings forth a fruitage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. You just start.
Service tomorrow morning, of course, we could, some of the folk have a long way to go tomorrow. Everybody's here. I don't really expect anybody to be coming in tomorrow that couldn't be notified tonight. If there was a possibility of getting here, we could start tomorrow morning at the latest at 10:30. Could even start at 10, but we'll put it up a half hour, and by the time we have a song service, if that should be missed, then it wouldn't, all of that would not be missed, so we can start at 10:30 at the very latest tomorrow morning. Now, tonight I preached. If I was wrong on one point, which I have not found that I'm wrong on, that I have no recollection Brother Branham ever said, that when you're born again, that you're so thoroughly dead that there's nothing in you that is not completely eradicated. I don't see that myself, because you yourself were dead in sin since you,